Hi, beautiful people. Welcome. My name is Morgan B. Cash of MorganBCash.com, and I teach entrepreneurs how to increase their income, their confidence, and their faith by showing them how to simplify their marketing so that they can increase their income and build a profitable business. So listen, today we're going to talk about some lessons that I learned from working in corporate America and how you can use these lessons to apply it to your business. I believe that we take a lot of our experiences and we don't use them for, you know, we don't try to use them for good. And so I wanna help you see that everything that you've learned and all the jobs that you may have had, they are actually gonna help you with your business. So just a little professional background about me. I have been in management for over at least 10 years in different industries. So retail, restaurant industry, I've previously worked at a bank. I've managed a jewelry store. So I have a lot of management experience. And then I have a lot of systems. I know how to work a lot of different systems. I have a lot of online industry, online marketing. I've been doing online business for at least, I guess, 5 or 7 years now. And so with me having all this knowledge, I was able to take what I've learned in school and not school, well, school too, because I did go to school for fashion design and business, but I was able to take what I learned in school and in work and combine it to build my business. So I want to talk to you today about three of the things that I learned working in corporate America, okay? And a lot of times people don't really like talking about their 9-to-5. I hate it, every 9-to-5 that I had. But I believe that I was in those different places for specific reasons. And so I've learned how to take those experiences that I had and actually use them for me, for my personal, you know, needs or whatever. There's this thing we call transferable skills. And so over the time, I was always looking for my transferable skills so I can actually use it in my business. So let's talk about number one thing I noticed that a lot of the businesses that I worked for was that they knew their audience and they knew the audience that was going to pay them, right? So they may have been targeting a lot of different people, but they were very clear about who was giving them their money. So for example, I like to use Chick-fil-A as an example because I believe they have great marketing and it's just a great company. But although they're in the business of chicken and although they're a Christian-based company, they're not out in these streets, got crosses on the napkins, and they don't have a cross in their logo, and they're not hollering from the stands that Jesus is Lord, right? But you can tell through how they interact on a daily basis how they want the culture of their company to be. And so because they're very clear about the culture of their company, they're also very clear about who they are targeting in their marketing. And so they don't just target the average person, they target people who would respect that type of culture, right? But let's think about if you were to go to McDonald's or if you were to go to somewhere who does not have that same culture. And this is not a dig, but people who typically eat at McDonald's, like eat McDonald's, they don't have the same respect for people or same respect for the culture that Chick-fil-A has. They don't necessarily truly respect someone saying my pleasure. They do that for a reason because it's the culture of their company that they're nurturing that type of community. When you look at Chick-fil-A and how people go out and how people talk about them, I mean, like, listen, let me tell y'all this story. I'm a vegetarian. I do not even eat chicken. You hear me? Okay. I don't eat chicken. So, and I know I'm all chocolate. I'm all black. I just don't eat chicken. And I don't eat meat. Okay. So I go to Chick-fil-A for their lemonade. Their lemonade is like busting. It's really good. So I go to Chick-fil-A for their lemonade. And so I ordered this, I think it was a diet frosted lemonade or something like that. So I go to get this lemonade and I looked at the cup and I was like, that ain't what I ordered. I knew it was wrong, but I wasn't finna, it was Chick-fil-A. Like, I'm not finna tell Chick-fil-A they wrong. Because in my mind, I'm thinking they heard from God and God told them this is what she wanted. I didn't know until hours later that it was wrong. The reason that I believe that I had that particular mindset was because I understand their culture, how they are nurturing their community. Now, of course, if I would have said something to them about this is the wrong type of this not the drink that I wanted, right? Of course, if I would have addressed it, they would have took care of me without any issues. Think about your experience at McDonald's, though. Completely different experiences. They probably would have gave you like a, that's what you said. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, whatever. Things like, you have to just be mindful of that. So the companies that I have worked for, the jewelry company I worked for, I managed a store. I managed Forever 21. I worked at a restaurant, a Zoe's Kitchen. I worked at a bank. I never disclosed the bank, but I worked at a bank. And all of these companies, they knew their customer. They knew their customer. And so everything that they had, they tailored it around that customer. So I worked at this restaurant, Zoe's Kitchen in Mount Brook, right? Mount Brook is like the richest county in Birmingham. So me working in there, I saw a lot of things that, and it was a good experience. I enjoyed working there. I'm in Alabama. But I enjoyed working in that particular location because the people there, the community there was pretty dope, right? They knew each other and it was very welcoming. The cool thing about working at this particular restaurant, though, was that in this restaurant, they had the company, when they got ready to send marketing, they respected their audience, their customers. They knew what they were going through. They had things ready for back to school. They had things, different type of events for them. They were aware of the community that was going on, and they had a parade. They let everybody know that the parade was going on. They were aware of their audience, of the people that were coming in. So when you're building a business, you have to know your audience. You need to know them so well that if you are walking on these streets, you can look at them. So when I'm at Starbucks or if I'm at any place, wherever it is, I know who my customer is. I can pinpoint her. I can talk to her, be like, hey girl, I know you're probably doing this and that with your life. Know who your customer is, right? So you can be able to pinpoint them. So that is something that I really appreciated. So something to consider when you're building your business, right? When you're trying to get to know your customer, be mindful that it does improve. Your customer's life is going to change. It's going to go from one stage to another stage, right? And so they're not going to always be where they are currently right now in this particular situation. So as you grow, your customer is going to grow, and so your products and your everything that you're doing for them will change. So let me use this example. So at church, I am a small groups leader for second graders, right? I love my second graders, but they grow and go to each different grade. And I used to have this mindset, so whenever they go to the third grade, I'm gonna go with them, right? I'm gonna teach the third grade. And I was like, no, you're gonna stay where you at. Well, what I really appreciated about teaching them in the second grade was that as they grew up in the third grade, by the end of the second grade year, I had developed in a different way. I had got better. So because they were my audience in that specific moment, I understood that I have grown and so have they. And so as they have grown up, right, I have grown in. So the way I do things change, the way I relate to them shifts. So because when you know who your audience is, you understand that they're going to grow and so will you, right? So who you are targeting in this moment, who you're going to work for right now, who you're going to work to get right now as a customer, that's not going to always be your customer. You may serve them in a different way at a later time, but be mindful that they will change and it will grow. So right now, if you're looking, you're wanting to find out like, so how can I find out about a customer? Who can I target? Number one, my best friend is google.com. Like, just Google whatever the industry is you're working in. Google that industry, right? And do some research. Spend as much time looking up as you can and also to doing some action, but know your customer. So reddit.com, R-E-D-D-I-T, Amazon. Let me tell you about Amazon. So on Amazon, this is my favorite way to find out about my audience. So I like to go, okay, so I know my audience at one point in their life, they like to watch Love and Hip Hop, Basketball Wives, Real Housewives of Atlanta. Only reason why I know they used to watch it is because I used to. So, I mean, I feel like y'all my like little sisters or whatever. So I know they used to watch it at one point or another. So what I do is I go look through their followers on Instagram and look to find like who on their Instagram do they follow. Like, so if they follow Nene or I don't know nobody else. We're going to use NeNe, so they follow NeNe. I look on who NeNe is connected to, and I look for authors. I'm super specific about looking for authors. So whoever has written a book, I'm looking for that person that NeNe has some type of relationship with that person, right? So let's say I take their name, and I go to, let's say it's Michelle Obama. We're just going to use her. So I go to Amazon.com, and I type in Michelle Obama's book, her name. And I read the comments and the reviews for that book. What that tells me is it helps me see what they are looking at in that book, what resonated with them the most in that book. I look to see keywords that they were using that I didn't think to use. So if they thought, if becoming, if a lot of them were actually using the word becoming, then that's going to be something I'm going to put inside of my copy or whatever when I type up different stuff, when I start talking and doing speaker things or whatever, I'll use those words because those are the words that my audience is using. The reason I like Amazon, here's some tea, listen. And on Amazon, you know these are people who are buyers, right? How do you know they're buyers? Because when they leave reviews, they have bought something, okay? Those are the people that you want to find out whatever it is they're thinking about and what they need so that you can create a product or a service to solve that problem. So Amazon is the plug, like it's the real plug. Amazon.com, read the reviews, it'll bless you because you'll see really what they're going through and what they need in this in right now that you can probably solve for them. So let's talk about number two is I noticed at all of the jobs that I've had, they know how to manage their time and they know their numbers. So when you go back to work, pay attention to that. Like, okay, think about how many times you've had to keep metrics, had to make sure you meet your numbers for the day or for the week. You had to make sure you made this amount of sales. When I worked, I'll use Forever 21 as an example. So we had this, I can't remember the exact, the letters or whatever, what we called it, but I know for a fact we had to have so many people inside of, like, made of so many sales within an hour. And then, okay, let's say we didn't make that many. Let's say we needed to have 20 people within an hour, right? But we only did 10. So for the following hour, we needed to make sure that we covered the 10 people we missed on the previous hour plus the 20 that we needed. So we really was grinding to meet our numbers per hour. Go back to your job and just examine what's going on. They know their time. They pay attention to your time. They know how long it takes for you to do something. So when you take too long to do something, what they say? You taking too long and you need to speed it up. And that's because they have mastered their processes. They have tested out how long something takes. Why? Because it's how they keep their business profitable. So a lot of times when people are building businesses, they're not building them on profitable foundations. So they are in essence really building broke businesses because they don't really know how long something takes for them to do. They don't know the complete process that it needs to be done. And so as they're building it, they're just building it on from one mess to another mess when that's not how corporations run. They know their processes and they know it so well that CEOs do not have to be in the building. When was the last time, seriously, that your boss, the head poncho, the one whose name is on everybody's check, when was the last time he was in the building? You probably ain't never met that man. You probably ain't never met him, right? Okay. That is because they've mastered numbers, they've mastered their metrics, and they've mastered their processes. So they know how to manage time. They know how to manage their money to where whatever it is that you're doing, it is going to make them some coins. You're not going to waste their time at your job. You're not going to waste their time. That's why people get, whenever people are late at their jobs, that's why people get laid off easily because of time, because they have a way of knowing if this person is not in a position at this for this amount of time, we are losing money. So consider that when you're building businesses. And so the way that you should do this to actually manage your business better and to build a profitable foundation, document your procedures, document your everything that you do, document it, right? so that whenever it's time, as you're shifting from you being there, you want to shift from being, from having to be present, right? You want to make profits without being present. And so with you doing that, you're going to step away, but you're going to create systems and you're going to create documents that have your standard operating procedures. You need to write that down. Standard operating procedures, so that you build a profitable business, knowing what something does, how long something takes, right? So I use a couple different type of websites. So one of the ones I use is called Clockify. So it's clockify.com. What this does is it lets me know how long I'm taking to do something. You go on there, you type in what you're working on, and you hit start. And you let it run until you complete it, right? What this does for you as a business owner is it lets you be conscious of how long something is taking. So let's say you're doing something online. Let's say you are creating a presentation for a speaking engagement. That takes time to do, so you should be clocking how long that takes you. And so once you're finished and you look and say, oh, that took me an hour, you'll go back and you'll be able to go back, and when the next time come around for your next speaking engagement, you know, okay, I got an hour of my day I can carve out to be able to create this presentation. But a lot of times we're winging it, so we don't know how long nothing takes. We don't know how to do the process. Each time we gotta go back to Google and be like, how did I do that the last time? Or YouTube it, all these different things. Create your standard operating procedure document or a video, something that you can pass on to someone else so that you don't have to be present for all the time, and it becomes easier and quicker for you. There is a whole equation, but this is me being a math nerd. There's like a whole equation to how to know whether or not what you're doing is going to make you money or not. I'm not going to go into that because that'll talk. I'll be on here all night because I love talking about that particular thing. But just know that you need to clock your time. You need to know how long something takes you to do. Because if you consider this, this is the reason businesses outsource. And I'm going to go to number three. Businesses outsource because if the CEO did everything, it would cost the business more money it would cost the business too much money. So let's say you have a $1 billion business. His hourly rate is probably at a couple thousands, right? As opposed to you coming in and doing the job that he needs done for $20 an hour. He's saving money by not having to do everything. So that is the reason you need procedures in place, so that you can start taking time to hire someone to do the things that takes too long for you to do and save some money, okay? People have broke businesses because they're trying to do everything. Let's talk about number three. This is the last one I have. I only had three. So every business that I've worked for, they have a signature product or service and a specific way of how they market their business. So we'll talk about Forever 21 since I've been using that as my example. So Forever 21, I feel like they were the people who began the whole influencer marketing thing. Like, they began that. That was their platform. And the way I believe this is, number one, if you are a person who is, let's say you like, you dress very nice. You don't have like 100,000 people on your Instagram, but you dress super nice. And people are always asking you, where do you get your clothes from? You're an influencer because you're influencing someone else to purchase something, right? By how you present yourself. That's all influencers are doing. Well, the thing with Forever 21 was, when I used to work there, because I used to find these different pieces and I used to buy these different things, me and my friends would buy them. We were considered influencers in a way, because we were influencing people to actually buy what we had on, right? So I believe Forever 21 was I was there before they Instagram was busting, before they had a good a website, before you could even buy on their website. I was at that. I was working there, right? So a lot of the things they do now, I was before that. So I believe they were the first people who instituted influencer marketing in their business, and their primary way of instituting it was not through social media. It was not through their website. It was not through Facebook ads or Instagram ads. Their way of doing it was through word of mouth, right? So they built up a way of helping you come in the business, find you something to wear. That's why if you look at the employees, all the employees had on clothes that came from Forever 21. It might not have been on purpose, but that's how, honestly, how it was done. They specialize in trendy and fast fashion. So the people who worked there, because it was such a low cost, and because, I mean, even with the discount, it was still cheap, they wore the clothes that they sold. So it's nothing for somebody to be walking in the store and say, hey, where you get that shirt from? It's cute. Oh, I got it from over here. It's in this section. I got it from out of here for $20. You understand? So Forever 21 had a signature product. Their product was fast fashion. Anything in there, it was there today and it was going to be gone by tomorrow. Literally. And then they had a signature way of marketing it, and that was through word of mouth. People would continue to spread the word about where they got their clothes from. And that is how, in my personal opinion, that's how Forever 21 grew in the way that it grew. So when you're building your business, let's talk about how you're going to do it. I'll give you another example. I worked at a jewelry store. I just looked at my notes and saw that I had this written down. I worked at a jewelry store that had, it was easily clear six figures. But it was one of those hood stores, right? I was trying to think of another way of putting it. So he had gold teeth and gold jewelry, all that kind of stuff in there. Like, people loved his store. And on Fridays, when they got paid, they came in there and just leaned out. They was getting ready to go to the club. Okay. So his signature product was gold grills. No lie. They were spending their coins on a gold grill, like seriously, like $200-$300 a week on a grill. He was clear, like he was getting people in there, like nothing. It was nothing for him to get people to come in there and buy these grills. That was his signature product, was those gold grills. Everything else he had in there was a bonus. So he had wedding rings, he had really nice watches, he had perfume. He had it was in essence a gift shop, but his signature product was those gold grills. And so the way he got people in there was not through social media. I worked there before social media blew up and where it was a primary way of people making money for their businesses. I worked there before then. So he didn't have social media marketing. He didn't have a website. He didn't have a Facebook. He had none of that. The way he made his coins was through word of mouth. He got one customer. That customer would come in, get their grill, and it would be nice. It'd be clean. Like, is that what? I don't know. Y'all, I'm a square. Like a square for real. So I don't know what they be saying. What people say. But I just be frank. But people, they saw their grill and they were nice. Had like jewels in it. All kind of stuff. Whatever. And so that one person will go tell somebody else. And then tell somebody else. And tell somebody else. So that one person had three people that he would tell. And those three people would tell three more people. And that's how he multiplied his business, because it went from this one person getting the grill to now you have three people who have told three more people. So that's 3, 6, 9, that's 12 people from one person. And that's just a simple outline. But word of mouth for him really spread his business. And it was such a small town, it was easier for him to do it. But think about your network. Like, who could you tell one person that you have this product, that you have this service to allow them to spread the word for you? Because they got people, they got bodies on them that can help you. So consider your network. So think about that. So for you and your business, you have to pick a signature product. My signature product is a 3-month coaching program where you work with me for 90 days and we launch your business. That is my signature product. 90 whole days. You stuck with me for 3 months. I'm your coach. I'm your mentor. I'm your best friend for 3 months. And we're going to get these coins, right? That's what we're going to do for 3 months. That's my signature product. But I have other things that are bonus, right? So what would your signature product or your signature service be? What can you do that you'll be known for, right? You'll be known for. People can say, oh, I know somebody that does that. Her name is da-da-da-da. You can go to her website or you can call her, whatever the case may be. So let's think, so, and then what is your signature form of marketing? Actually, my signature way of marketing is through Facebook Lives. Some people's signature way of marketing may be through word of mouth. So my mom, her signature way of doing it is word of mouth, but she also does, she passes out business cards. That is super effective for her. And I've told her before, and this is a just a, something, a nugget for you. If you are really good at talking to people one-on-one, as opposed to building up an Instagram profile and building up an email list and all that, if you're good at talking to people one-on-one and letting them know, like, oh yeah, hey, this is what I do. I love working with children. I'm a nanny, I'm a babysitter, and I'm available with business. You see, let's say you're in Walmart and you see people, or you see someone who has children, looks like she's just fresh off of work and she's at the grocery shop and she may be struggling to get everything done. She's a that's a client right there, because you can say, ma'am, I don't want to disrupt you, but I just gotta let you know that I do have babysitting services, and if you are interested, I'm available x amount of days at these hours, here's my number. That's a connect. That may be easier for you to do one-on-one in front of someone, as opposed to posting it on Instagram and waiting on someone to come to you and let them know that, let you know they need their service. Sometimes it's best for you to pre-qualify your customer, right? So consider what could be your signature way of marketing. So let me see who else I know. Let me think about these other businesses that I had. I had an Etsy shop. That was a hair bow shop. That was like my most profitable shop. It was like a fabric hair bows. I love doing it. And so that was my signature product, was those hair bows. My signature way of marketing it was through SEO, through search engine optimization for Etsy, right? This may go over your head, but I'm gonna bring it home. So I was thinking, okay, these people are already coming to this particular website. I just need to maximize them when they get here. They're already searching for certain things. I just need to position myself in front of them so that they can find me. That's how my thought process was. So that's why SEO, search engine optimization for Etsy, was my thought process when I was doing it, because it was easier for me to position myself. So to make this more relatable, with your service, with whatever it is you're selling, what can you do to position yourself in front of your audience that makes it easier for them to purchase from you as opposed to somebody else? So I was putting in stuff, so they may not have been looking for hair bows. They may have been looking for tennis shoes or shoestrings or something that was associated with hair bows. I was putting myself in front of those people that was not typing in hair bows. You know what I'm saying? So consider, how can you position yourself and market yourself in a way that you are already doing it now? I was already using search engine optimization, which really just means using appearing, and when people type in, look up stuff, like when you go to Google and you type in certain things, people have optimized their website so that you can find them. That's all that means. So how can you position yourself to be found? Think of it that way. How can you position yourself to be found where it's easy? They had a signature way of marketing, knowing that when I do this particular marketing, it is going to bring customers. When I worked at Zoe's, the restaurant, they had this marketing strategy of buy one pint, get one free. So a pint was like, it was about the size of this lotion bottle, right? And it had chicken salad in it, or pasta salad. It had different kind of salads. People really liked it. And so their strategy was buy one, get one free. So people would come in, buy one thing, buy the chicken salad, and get an extra thing of chicken salad for free. You want to know when they did that? Whenever it was a holiday season. They was making bank, and they wasn't losing no money. They wasn't losing money. Reason why was people was coming in, buying other stuff at full price. That was their signature way of promoting their business. So get creative. What is a way that you can position yourself and get your customers to come to you? What is a product? Their signature product at this restaurant was the chicken salad. People went crazy over the chicken salad. I don't eat chicken. Ain't no fan. Okay? So how can you position your signature product in front of your customers so that you can be able to sell easily. When they do marketing in these corporations, it's not hard for them. They've done all the work. They're still actively testing because they know their audience. Let's do a recap. They know what their audience needs. They know the signature product that their audience needs, and they know their numbers. Without a shadow of a doubt, they know their numbers. So as you're building your business, I want you to go to work if you're still at your 9-to-5, and I want you to look at your job not as a job. I want you to look at it as a way of you taking some skills and some knowledge from your jobs and transforming it into your business. People forget that transferable skills is a real thing, and it's not just for people who are moving from one type of career to another. No, you want to know, how can you use what you're learning at work? You're at your job for 8 hours. Some people are there for 12 whole hours. That's half the day, cuz. Like, you at work for half the day, and then, so you work for 12, you might sleep for 8. Just 4 hours to yourself. You need to be taking some of them skills you learning, some of those things that you're doing in repetition every single day, and look at it from a different perspective. How can I use this in my business when it's time for me to grow my business? Because you're going to make some coins using skills that you've already nurtured, using things that you already know over time. One thing about me, and I'm pretty sure this is the same about you as well, is that I'll say this. I used to have these jobs. So I've always grown in these different jobs, right? So I've started as a sales associate, or I started as a stock person, or something like that, right? And then I'll grow into a head person, some type of leader, and then I'll grow into a manager. And I used to always like wonder, why in the world am I growing from this position to position to position, even though when I got the job, I was qualified to automatically be here, right? What I've learned is that God was really showing me how not just to be humble. Of course, he was, of course, developing some fruits of the spirits in me, but he was also showing me how each person feels at each level. So he was teaching me how to relate to the people I was grooming as when I got here. So whenever I used to have meetings at this level, they knew I was coming for, they could relate to me, and I was coming for how they was feeling, not because I was coming at a place of, I guess is how you feel it. I knew it, right? So I was able to take the skills that I learned down here and use them here to help the culture of my team. But now that I've been here, right, in these different positions and these different industries, these different levels, I've been in all these different places, right? Now, on this other side of business, I can use every single skill that I've had there, and I can implement it in my business. So when I have a meeting with my team, or when I have time to spend with a client, I know how to relate to them on a level of, I just got started. I don't know what to do. My faith is struggling. Why? Because I have been there. You understand? When I have a team, right, who's confused about something, they don't know how to do something, that I am the person who implemented this thing, I can relate to them because I have been there. So every single experience that you had, no matter good or bad, at a job that you are going to every single day, you find a way to use it for good. Find a way to, this is only for you if you're building a business, because you're not going to be able to see it in the way that I'm explaining. I'm expecting for you to, you know, I'm expecting for you to see it from the eyes of an employer as a CEO, and not from the eyes of someone who is an employee. That's two different mindsets. If you continue to look at your business from an employee perspective, your business is not going to be as profitable as it should be, because you're in this type of mode. You're focused on that particular thing and nothing else matters. CEOs have a bird's eye view of what's going on. That's the reason that they are not in the woods, right? They're not in the trenches with you at your job. Your CEO is not sitting next to you chopping it up. No, He's not. Your CEO is not taking calls with you. He is not typing up reports with you. He's not sending emails. He's not doing none of that. Your CEO is over here. He sometimes they be at the beach. Okay. But they have a lot of vacation. I'm just joking. But what I'm saying is they have a bird's eye view of the vision of the business. So you have to also have that same mentality as you're building yours. Look at the things that you already learned. I promise you, somewhere in those processes, you've learned enough to be able to build a profitable platform and not a broke business, okay? So that's all I have for you. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for joining me. If you want to know more about how to work with me, head over to morganbcash.com. You'll find out all the tea about your girl, okay? Bye.